Blog Talk Radio.
Offering to the Most High. I am going to do a precept on this, so I pray that you have your pencil and paper so that next year when we do this, you'll understand what I'm doing. And concerning to this, there's a lot of, it seems to be that there are people out there who didn't understand this feast day. There are people who don't celebrate this. There are people that celebrate it as Easter. Some people even get offended when you call it a feast of the first fruits. It's kind of funny to me how people react to certain things. But nevertheless, we're going to be obedient to this word, and we're going to do our heave offering on this morning, and we're going to learn what this is all about, where it was instituted at, and why we don't celebrate this as Easter, as the church does. And we know Easter is pagan, but there are some requirements for this particular observance, the heave offering, which is also known as the Feast of the First Fruits. There are some requirements for it, like first, not supposed to eat until you make this offering, until this offering is heaved on this day. For this day, you're not supposed to eat until it's done. And then there is, as I said, there is an oath that is required, that the Most High requires in Deuteronomy for this day from Israel and from anybody who is celebrating this, the heave offering. So let us do our statement of faith. And I want to say, for those of you, so let me do the necessary. I sent out a picture to your email. I went out to the garden this morning and pulled, some collard greens and some tomatoes and I don't know why I can't remember what the name of this plant is called. But I know you're growing it also. I think you're growing it, Sister Mary.
Well, it has to be Sister Denise. I'm not growing anything yet.
Okay, it must be Sister Denise. I told you, sisters, I'm going to have to put some type of voice recognition on you guys.
Cilantro?
Yeah, cilantro. I don't know why I can't remember that name. Some cilantro, and I started the potatoes, and they are coming up, like, really, really nice. I'm surprised. Sweet potatoes haven't started coming up yet. But, like the white potatoes and things like that, they're coming up, and I'm going to have to transfer them to their permanent place here. I think I'm going to do it today. I have to read and see. But I went and got some things out of the garden, as part of the heave offering, and then whatever other offerings that we've made for those of you who sent in offerings and things like that. So I greet you all in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our master and our savior, our Elohim and our redeemer, the lover of our souls and the rock of our faith. I want to say welcome to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. This is the Feast of the First Fruits, the wave offering for 2022. We want to greet all those people in North America, in South America, on the continent of Africa, in the European theater, in the Far East, in the Middle East, wherever you may be in the world, and you listen to this broadcast, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. We pray that you have had a blessed, for those of you who are overseas and you're ahead of us in time, that you have had a blessed Feast of First Fruits, and for those in the U.S., we say happy Feast of First Fruits to you. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads, whether you're listening in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, or in the Internet in general, wherever you're listening at. Let me have you to cover your heads at this time as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and to keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Yah. We thank you for the abundance and the increase that you have given us this year, Father. We thank you for keeping us through tonight. We thank you for providing for us, Father. We thank you for all that you do for us and all that you're going to do. We just glorify you on this morning, and we lift you up and we magnify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to, as part of this precept, we will do the scripture reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. And then from the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I gave unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Okay, and this is where the Most High instituted this, and then later he told us when to keep it. What specific day to keep this first fruit offering. Okay, so holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for this opportunity, Father, to come before you and to heave the increase that you have given us this year. Father, we pray that you would bless it and that you would increase it according to your perfect will, that we might do the work of the kingdom, that we might bring souls to you, that we might help them to understand how they should walk in these last and terrible days. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us talk about this Feast of First Fruits. The offering of the Feast of First Fruits occurs in the week of Passover and unleavened bread. We know that this is the week of Passover is the week of unleavened bread. And it occurs during this festival. And the scriptures tell us that on the first day after the Passover Sabbath, so whatever, if Passover is on a Tuesday, then you wait to the weekly Sabbath. And then that first day after the weekly Sabbath, then is the heave offering. And so that happens to be, it happens to correspond with what the world calls, quote unquote, Easter. Okay, the world calls it Easter, but we call it, the Most High calls it the Feast of the First Fruits. And in a short, you know, at a short, we're going to go into this in detail, but in an overview, Messiah came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Coming out of the tomb at that time, he also came out. It would be considered also he came out on the first day because it was at the end, and he told us to celebrate this day. He is our first fruit. Okay, so we are... if we make it into the first resurrection and we suffer with him, as he has said, if we suffer with him and we make it into the first resurrection, then we are part of the first fruits. Okay. So the Feast of the First Fruit, which is called Shavuot Pentecost, leads to Pentecost, okay, and Pentecost is called Shavuot. So the Feast of the First Fruits marks the time that you're going to start to count your seven Sabbaths until Pentecost. Seven Sabbaths plus one day, 50. This was instituted as a memorial of Moses. A type, Moses was a type of Messiah. He saved Israel. He went into to Egypt and saved Israel from Pharaoh, which, and Pharaoh represents the world in our spirituality. Pharaoh and Egypt represent bondage. And so he was a type of Messiah. Israel went out from Egypt into the wilderness. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. If you grab your Bibles, we'll exercise them a little bit this morning. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 18. And I'm going to try not to keep us this long this morning, so we're just going to read those, the necessary verses. The book of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, Yah Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Yah our Elohim. Let's go to chapter 5 and verse 3. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 3. Again, he says the same thing. And they said, the Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto Yah our Elohim, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with the sword. And we'll get one more place. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 17. The book of Exodus chapter 8 and verse 17. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the women. That's the wrong verse. Disregard that one. That's the wrong verse. I wrote down the wrong thing there. We'll go with those two verses that I had. I wrote down the wrong verse there. All right. Let us go to Exodus chapter 13, starting in verse 11. Because in Exodus chapter 13, starting in verse 11, this is where the Most High institutes the Feast of the First Fruit. So we want to see where this first comes from. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 11. And it shall be when Yah shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto Yah all that opens the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be Yah's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck. And now, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? Thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand Yah brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that Yah slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to Yah all that opens the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thy hand, and for the frontlet between thine eyes. For by strength and of hand Yah brought us forth out of Egypt. Here they were baptized in the cloud as Yah by his spirit enveloped them and empowered them for the journey ahead to the promised land. So we know on the Passover, the reason that the Most High had them to kill that lamb, not only just for the blood and the covering, but for the meat to give them the energy, because he knew they were going to be leaving out that night. Okay. And so he had them to, you know, every man and every family according to what they, the number of the people in their family, they were to eat until they got full, because they were going to be walking, you know, that starting at midnight, they'd be gathering up everything and leaving out, and they would be traveling for days, okay? They drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, which was Messiah. It was an impregnation of the assembly of Israel by the spirit of Elohim. He enveloped them in his spirit, and they received the Ruach, elevating them from the natural to the spiritual. They were supernaturally empowered to travel by day and by night, an incredible distance. When you look on that map, coming out of Goshen, you know, and traveling along the desert, along the desert until they came to the Sinai Peninsula, going through or over those mountains, and then coming to the where he parted the Red Sea, that's not a small distance. And to bring 4 or 5 or 6 million people that distance, you know, and they didn't prepare victuals. They didn't prepare food. They didn't even let their bread rise. So this was a miracle. And, you know, when you're bringing that many people along, then you got to, you know, they got to be fed. They got to be watered. But the Most High prepared them that night and then gave him strength by his spirit for them to make that journey that far. Go to Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. So let's drop down to verse 21 in the same chapter. And Yah went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them, to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to get verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The book of Psalms, chapter 105, verse 37. Because when he brought them, when he filled them with his spirit and, you know, caused them to eat and then filled them with his spirit so that the whole nation could leave at one time, he said there was not one feeble one among them. So let's go to Psalms 105, verse 37. Psalms 105 and verse 37. And he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That means the Most High, when he filled them with their spirit, there was not one weak one among them. They were all fit and empowered to make this journey into the wilderness. Yah spake to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give to you and reap the harvest, then you shall bring in a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yah for you to be accepted. Okay, now this sheaf, this first, this offering, this wave offering is for Israel to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day when you wave the sheaf a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering before Yah. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your Elohim. It shall be a statute forever throughout all your generations and all your dwellings. And that's in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 through 12. So let's read that. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 through 12. And then we will get verse 14 as well. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give to you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yah to be accepted for you. On the morning after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, you have to go to other places to understand that this morning, the morrow after the Sabbath, is dealing with the Passover Sabbath, okay? And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheep a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto Yah. Verse 14, and you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your Elohim. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. So before this offering is made, the wave offering, the heave offering, the first fruits is made, you should not eat anything, because it's a matter of the Most High blessing us with his essence and giving us increase and accepting us and accepting our offering. So you should not eat before you have brought your offering. The historical observance of the first fruits. So this is a little bit of history. In the period of the temple, as the Sabbath during the first day of the unleavened bread ended, the priest went to a field on the outskirts of Jerusalem and cut a measure of the first ripe choice barley grain. So we know when we left Egypt, it was saying that the barley was in harvest. And so the Most High wants us to do this same time every year. The barley will be in harvest in Israel and in Egypt at this time. It will be becoming ripe. And so the priests would go out on this day, and they would cut some of the ripe first fruit of that crop, which had early been marked out by the members of the Sanhedrin. It was to be offered in the temple on the day after the Sabbath. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 11. It was prepared the evening before, and the sheaf was made of fine flour, and oil was lifted up and waved before Yah in a ceremony at the third hour of the day, or the third hour of the morning, together with the sacrifice of a lamb, as a sweet smelling savor unto Yah. Now we know that this meat offering, this will be a meat offering. The meat offerings, the free will offerings, the peace offerings, these were offerings that were sweet smells in the nose of the Most High. He liked the way these smell, and because they weren't for sin, they were for his pleasure. And so really, if we had a temple and we had an altar, we could do these sacrifices. But we don't have a temple. We are the temple right now. We don't have an altar. And so he says, you can't do these type of sacrifices without bringing them to the door of the temple or to the door of the tabernacle. Well, we don't have that physical altar to do that on, so we can't make these animal sacrifices. And it's not for sin. That's the thing that you got to understand. This is not for sin. This is because it's a sweet smell in the nose of the Most High. He likes these sacrifices. Each family also, as Yah commanded, brought a single bundle of their first fruits of the barley crop to the temple on the day after the Sabbath, and of the first day of the unleavened bread, and the priest would then wave it before Yah. This was considered the early fruit, the early first fruit, and the latter first fruit, being at the end of the 50th day. The latter first fruit is Pentecost, okay? The early first fruit, so the feast of the first fruits, is really like 50 days old, but he says on the first day we're to come and bring this heave offering, the first fruits. Then on Pentecost would be the finish of this. Being at the end of the 50th day from the Greek word has been called Pentecost, meaning 50, Shavuot in Hebrew. The intervening 50 days between these two first fruits occasions were to be counted day by day, traditionally being called counting the Omer. So you would count the Omer starting in day one, the heave offering, and then you would finish at 50, seven Sabbaths plus one day, at 50, okay? The barley was ready to be harvested, so they waved their sacrifice at the temple and began to harvest right away. After the first day of the Sabbath, Sabbath rest associated with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Hebrew word for sheaf is omer. And I'm going to send you guys this document that I'm using to do this because I put these definitions in here. And I put the Hebrew words, even the Hebrew itself, in here so that you can, if you want to look it up to verify these things, that you can. But the word translated as sheaf in the English is omer. And the omer was the measure of a barley used in making a loaf, which was presented before Yah. Yah made from the first fruits of the harvest grain. The counting of the omer is a countdown from the Passover to Passover. Let me stop that. It's a countdown from Passover to Pentecost. It was at Pentecost that the Torah was given to Israel and at the time of the giving of the Holy Spirit for the new covenant. So Pentecost and the giving of law, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the same day that the Most High gave Israel the law, is the same day that he released his Holy Spirit in the New Testament. It is a spiritual journey of preparation from the salvation of experience of Passover onwards through the sanctifying of the Spirit to the anticipated experience of Pentecost to our heavenly bridegroom. The distance of days between the two events should be a time of spiritual reflection, growth, purification, and spiritual preparedness as his bride. So we don't just count 50 days and, you know, we say, oh, now it's Pentecost. But this should be a time that you should be also reflecting on your life, your spiritual life, and how do you make it better, you know, as the bride, as the potential bride. Because we know everybody that celebrates this, not everybody's going to make it, as Messiah said in the parable of the 10 virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom. Five had their lamps filled with oil, and that oil represented the Holy Spirit, and five didn't. And the five that when Messiah came, when the bridegroom came, the five that had their oil, their lamps full of oil, they went into the bride chamber. The ones that didn't have their oil or didn't have the Spirit, they wanted to buy from the virgins that had their oil. They said, this, at least there not be enough for me and you. Go buy you some oil. And so while they're running around trying to go buy the oil, which is representing, you know, you can't buy the Spirit, but it represents receiving the Ruach HaKodesh. While they're running around trying to receive the Ruach HaKodesh, they get their oil, they come back, but the door has been closed. And then he says to those five virgins, I don't know you. So, it's a message to us that we have to have the Ruach HaKodesh. We have to have his Spirit, or he doesn't know us. And we read this on last night two or three times in two or three different parables where he says to the people who are worshiping him, who say they are worshiping him, that get away from me. I knew you not. Because they did not received the Ruach, and they didn't obey his voice. They didn't do what he said to do. They said, hey, we cast out demons. We laid hands on the sick. We did wondrous works in your name. But then he told them, get away from me. I never knew you. And so it's critical that we understand this, that this time is to be spent seeking him out, okay, that you get your oil. When Israel was delivered from Egypt, and Egypt represents the world as far as spiritually goes, because the scriptures are given to us concerning specific nations, and then those nations represent, they're a microcosm of the world or of a people. So when Israel was delivered from Egypt, just like when Messiah delivered us from sin, the world, it was just the beginning. the things of the world were still in them, and the intervening time before coming to Sinai was necessary for their preparation, as it is spiritually for us. Just like when the Most High took Israel and their journey to Sinai was a time of testing, and it was a time of getting them ready. Their stay at Sinai was a time of preparing them. Messiah, the first fruit. It was at the end of the third day, the 17th of Nisan, or the 17th of Abib, whatever month name of that month you want to use, after his death, that the empty tomb of Yahushua was discovered. As Passover lambs were being slain in the temple on the 14th of Nisan, Yahushua himself was sacrificed. So the same time that the Passover lambs were being sacrificed in the temple, Messiah was being crucified. The wave sheet was cut outside of Jerusalem on the 15th of Nisan, just before the 16th of Nisan, the day of first fruit. Israel's priests were in the temple waving the first fruit of the barley harvest on the 16th of Nisan during the day, before a torn veil in the temple. Now, we know that when Messiah went to the cross, when he died, the veil in the Holy of Holies was ripped in two from top to bottom. When the priest went in there to do the first fruit offering, that veil was ripped. It was no longer a solid veil. Ushering in the time of the first fruits of the resurrection, Messiah rose from the dead on the 17th of Nisan, exactly 3 days and three nights, on the third day, or 72 hours, after his death and burial. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. The book of Matthew, chapter 27. And let's get starting at verse 51, and we're going to read Matthew 27 and 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, or in two, from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent. And rent means to be torn or broken. Go to Matthew, chapter 28. The book of Matthew, chapter 28, and verse 9. Matthew, chapter 28, and verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Yeshua met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. And we know that this was the two Marys, two Marys. A sheaf in the Bible is used to typify a person or to identify a person or persons. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. The book of Genesis chapter 37. See where I got this from. Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to be getting verses 5 through 11. Let's just go ahead and get verses 1 through 11. Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, and his father's wives. Let me get my glasses, because I'm just reading stuff and saying stuff that, good grief. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves. Now let's look and see what these sheaves represent. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about it and made obstinance to my sheep. In other words, his sheep bowed down, their sheep bowed down to his sheep. The sheep represented him and his brothers. So those different sheep represent a people or peoples. Okay, let's continue down through verse 11. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obstinance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. This same dream is mentioned in Revelations, where we have the sun and the moon and the stars, the lady with the 12 stars and the sun and the moon. This is representing Joseph and Abraham and Sarah and the 12 tribes of Israel, or Jacob and his wife and the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons, is identifying them by the same dream that he told to his father. Okay. So the sheaves in Joseph's dream, one represented him, and the other 11 represented his brothers. So this is what the sheaf represents, the wave offering. It represents Israel, okay, one sheaf for the whole nation. The festival of the sheaf of first fruits was prophetic of the resurrection of Yeshua. He prophesied that he would rise again after being 3 days and three nights in the earth after his crucifixion. So let's go to Matthew chapter 38, the book of Matthew chapter 12, and we'll get verses 38 through 40. The book of Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then let's get Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Yeshua to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And let us go to Luke chapter 24, the book of Luke chapter 24. And we're going to get verses 44 through 46. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 46. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And let's get one more place. Let's go to the book of Jonah, chapter 2. The book of Jonah, chapter 2. And we're going to get chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And then Jonah prayed unto Yah his Elohim out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto Yah, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. This is the prophecy of Jonah. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. But now is Messiah risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So Messiah is the wave offering, that sheaf at the wave offering represented Israel, and it prophetically represented Messiah, that he would die and be raised. And he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Okay. Let's also get Genesis chapter 37. So if you're turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to get verses 5 through 11. Actually, we don't have to get that. We've already read that. So we know where the Feast of the First Fruits, where it was initiated, the Most High told Israel, when you come into the land, you're going to heave up, you're going to raise and bring to the priest the first fruits of the land. And every year they were to do this on the day after the Passover Sabbath. All of Israel would bring, would have cut their first fruits and brought it to the priest. In the New Testament, Messiah was raised up, crucified, and then he went into the tomb, and on the third day came out, and he came out on at the end of the Sabbath. And the Most High had already set this date to be celebrated, as because Messiah was also going to be the first fruits from the dead. And so he had become the first fruits from the dead. The first fruit offering speaks of Messiah's ascension and his presentation of himself in the Father's house. Because remember, he told Mary them, don't touch me. I have to ascend to the Father. I got to go present this blood. Okay? I got to go pray this price. I got to put it on the altar up here. Don't touch me. The first fruit offering speaks of Messiah's ascension and presentation of himself in the Father's house, the true tabernacle in heaven. In his resurrection, resurrected glorified body, the sheaf had been reaped from the earth and waved before Yah in the heavenly sanctuary when he rose from the grave and ascended into the Father, to the Father on resurrection morning. He instructed Miriam not to touch him prior to his presentation before the Father. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 17. The book of John, chapter 20, and verse 17. And Yeshua said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go tell my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my Elohim and your Elohim. Passover prophesied Messiah's death on the cross, while the sheaf offering prophesies the first fruit of a coming harvest through Messiah's resurrection from the dead. He was the representation, the representative sheaf of the harvest that was to come, the first of a kind, a second man, Adam. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So Messiah represented, just like the Passover prophesied about him being his death on the cross, the Feast of the First Fruit, the sheaf offers a prophecy of the first fruits coming from him, starting with Messiah. So even, you know, back when the Most High said, when we go into the land, to offer up the first fruit and to celebrate this, that we would be accepted. This also pointed toward Messiah being that sheaf that was waved, the first fruit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is Yah from heaven. Your book says the Lord. But the second man is Yah from heaven. His presentation to the Father of the work of atonement secured the complete redemption and sanctification of the elect, which the Father had given him. John 17 and 12. So let's go to the book of John, chapter 17 and verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So it was prophesied that he would lose one of the disciples. He said, I have not lost any but the one that was prophesied to be lost, the one that turned me in. All he had promised them of being with him where he was, glorified in the Father, was accomplished when he arose triumphantly from the grave. Let's read John chapter 17, starting in verse 1. The book of John chapter 17, starting in verse 1. John chapter 17, starting in verse 1. These words spake Yeshua, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is a life, and this is life eternal, that they might know that thee, the only true Elohim, and Yeshua HaMashiach, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto men, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. In just a minute here. Okay. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Let's drop down to verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. So we are promised to be with him. Messiah's prayer was that we would be with him. And when that day comes, we will join him. We won't join him in the heavens. He's going to return here. After his presentation to the Father, he came and imparted to them the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth is the Holy Spirit, which he had promised them, to make them one in him, one body of believers indwelt by the Spirit. The book of John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. The book of John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Yeshua and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hand and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw that they saw when they saw the Lord or when they saw Yeshua. Then said Yeshua to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. This giving of the Spirit was the deposit, which elevated them spiritually to be where he was positionally in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. So let's get Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So we know that the scripture says that we are buried with him in baptism, buried into his death. And here in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, it says, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. The outpouring of the Spirit upon them came 50 days later at Pentecost, which anointed them with power to bring them as a seed which has been planted to perfection. So let's go to the book of Acts chapter 2. Now we know that the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, is the Spirit of the Most High himself. And he told them to receive the same Spirit he had. Because it's by one Spirit are we born into the body, are we brought into the body by the Spirit of the Father. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Saying the same thing. So before he left, he told them to receive it. That was to make them one with him. And that's what makes us one with him, is by one Spirit are we adopted into one body. The assembling which is his body. The assembly which is his body is accepted in the head, the Messiah. We are buried with him and buried with him in baptism and are made alive with him through the forgiveness of our sins. Colossians chapter 2. The book of Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of Elohim, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened or made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans, chapter 3. And let's get verse 25, I believe it is. Romans, chapter 3, verse 25. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, like a payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of Elohim. So as we have talked about many times, Messiah didn't die for our future sins. He died for our sins that when we come to him, that are past. The day we accept him as Messiah and then we are baptized into his death, all of our sins from the day we were born past. To that day, from the day we came to him to the day we were born, going backwards, all of those sins are forgiven. But our future sins are not forgiven because we say we repented, We turned away. We didn't sin anymore. We're not going to sin anymore. And the only sin that we're supposed to commit, he says, is ignorant sin, things that we don't know. So he has given us life. He gave us back our life by forgiving us our sins. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. So through the forgiveness of our sins, he gave us life back. And when we go back and sin again, if it's willful sin, then we take our salvation into our own hands, because the Most High never forgave willful sin. He only forgave ignorant sin. And so Messiah being our Passover lamb paid the price for us and caused that our transgressions, that the Most High would not judge us. He would pass over us as long as we stayed up under the blood, as long as we obeyed his voice and didn't go back out and sin willfully. We have life, and he will raise us back to life. Ephesians chapter 7. Wow. I must need to go back to sleep this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, or through Yeshua HaMashiach. It is represented the spiritual resurrection of the believer, now reconciled to Elohim, to walk in the newness of life in Messiah. The first fruit offering in the temple consisted of a male lamb and a barley loaf with a drink offering of wine. This was what was weighed. So you had the sheaf, you had the barley loaf, you had the male lamb, and you had some wine that they used. The burnt offering of the unblemished lamb represented the sacrificial offering of Messiah. The barley loaf, made of a set measure of specially selected individual grains. So when they went out to pick these grains, they picked the what? First fruit, but they picked the choice grains. So out of this first fruit, then there was some choice grains that they picked out of that, okay? So we hear, you know, we hear Messiah said, many are called. That's that first fruit, okay? But out of the first fruit, the priest would take out some choice grains as an offering. These choice grains were the ones that were chosen. And that represented also when Messiah said, many are called, the first fruit offering, but few are chosen. Okay? So, the selected individual grains from the harvest crop, ground into fine flour mixed with oil. Those choice grains were ground into fine flour, and then they were mixed with oil. The oil always represented the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is what this feast and the ceremony represents, the first fruits, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the selection of the called out ones of the Most High, the first fruits. All right, so those chosen grains were ground into fine flour and mixed with oil. And that represents the corporate body of the saints, permeated by the oil of the Spirit to become one bread, one body, indwelt by the Spirit. The disciples of Yeshua became that body of believers after his resurrection, a barley loaf united by the Spirit, with the outpouring of the wine of the Spirit upon them. So the wine also represented the Spirit of the Most High. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. And let's get verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So he's comparing you being high off of wine versus being high off of what? The Spirit. Don't be drunk in excess with wine, but be drunk in the Ruach HaKodesh. But the wheat at the first fruit offering, the sheaf is raised and it's weighed, and a lamb was offered with sacrifice, a lamb without blemish. And then the barley loaf and the wine were consumed. But the barley loaf was made from the grains, the cussed grains of the few that were the few grains that were chosen. So they would get this first fruit of the barley, and they would select out grains, specific grains, out of that, and they would grind those up into flour, and then they would mix it with the oil, which represented the Spirit, and then they would bake it into a loaf, which means one body filled with the Spirit. And then they would consume that with the wine, which also represented the Spirit, okay, of the Most High. The book of John, chapter 12. The book of John, chapter 12. And let's get verse 24. John chapter 12 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. This is what Messiah represents. Messiah was that kernel of corn that dropped to the ground and was buried. It died. And then he was resurrected. The resurrection is the corn coming back up out of the ground and then bearing what? A stalk of corn with many cobs on it that have many more seeds. And this is what he's talking about. So he was that first kernel, spiritual kernel that went into the ground, came up. And now through his Spirit, through the Spirit of the Ruach, is bearing much fruit by begetting us, the first fruits. The coming harvest. Messiah was the first of an anticipated first fruit group. Yah Elohim is looking for a first fruit harvest from the first fruits of Messiah. But now is Messiah risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. This is where he's looking for that first harvest to come from. For in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. The book of James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us the word of truth, that he should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The first fruit group is comprised of old and new covenant saints. So we understand that let's say Job, let's say Isaiah, Ezekiel, Adam, Eve, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These Old Testament saints. Mashiach, it said that he went and preached to them, even those before the flood. Okay, let's go to James chapter, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. But each in his own order, Messiah the first fruits. After that, those who are Messiahs at his coming. So he's not going to leave out those individuals that were in Torah. that followed the Most High, that kept the covenant, that were filled with the Ruach. As believers, we have been purchased with the blood of Messiah and sealed with the Spirit for the purpose of leading us on our journey through the wilderness of life to receive our promised inheritance. The promises are to those who overcome the fleshly nature. Got to overcome this flesh. Can't let it rule us. Just as Yah imparted a measure of his Spirit to the children of Israel and took them through the wilderness to purge them of their fleshly nature, which we know they just constantly complained. So he does with us. And this is what the infilling of the Spirit is supposed to be for us, to help us purge out that old man and to walk the way that he wants us to walk. The wilderness of this world will test our resolve to deal with our fleshly nature. If you give into the world, you fail in the test. If you are letting this flesh rule you, you're failing the test. Even if you have the Ruach, if you have the Ruach and you are doing these things, the chances are that the Ruach will leave and you will be on your own. So we must not give in to the flesh. We must not let it rule over us. Each believer is given the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, when this is saying it this way, and what I'm meaning by believers here, I'm talking about people who are truly filled with the Spirit of the Most High. You give it a measure of it, and this is what seals us. The initial impartation of the Spirit to purge us from the flesh and to bring us to the state of holiness, whereby we may receive the promise of inheritance. The initial impartation is an earnest payment. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to get verse 22. Who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts? The earnest of the Spirit is the down payment of the Holy Spirit. Puts it in our heart, and the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead us into, is also the Spirit of truth, is supposed to lead us into all truth, is supposed to direct our path. It's the way that the Most High communicates with us through His Spirit. So this earnest payment is a down payment. It's a deposit, and it acts as a guarantee of the full measure of that which is to come. So I'm going to start off giving you my Spirit. But this is not everything that you're going to receive. This is what qualifies you, the Ruach HaKodesh. It's the down payment on the rest of the promise. Just like when you go to buy a house, you have to put up earnest money. And this earnest money is given, and it's not able to be taken back. You can't get it back. It's saying that you are going to complete this transaction. And if you don't complete the transaction, you lose your money. Okay? So the Most High says, I made a down payment on you with my Spirit. And I won't take it back. Unless you do something to void the contract, I'm not going to take it back. Okay? This down payment of the Spirit is so that you know that there is more to come. This is not all that you're going to receive. Every other promise that the Most High promised your eternal life, to live in His kingdom, to not suffer any more death or sickness, that there won't be any more war, that you will be able to see Him. You will be like Him. All the other promises that He promises, He said the Spirit is the down payment of that. And so then you must listen to the Spirit of the Most High so that you can complete the journey. Okay? in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So everything I just told you, let's read it in scripture. We read that we are sealed with the earnest, given the earnest, the Holy Spirit, the down payment. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's get verses 13 and 14. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit is the down payment on the entire purchase until he redeems us and gives us the rest of the promise. Those who endure the test and overcome their flesh, remain faithful to the prize of his high calling, are chosen grains. Let me say that again. Those who endure the test and overcome their flesh, remaining faithful to the prize, keeping their eyes on the prize of the high calling in Christ, of the high calling in Mashiach, are the chosen grains. Just like, as I told you, the priests would go out and they would pick the first fruit of the barley harvest. They would pick a bunch of grain, and then they would pick the choice grain out of that. Those are the ones that remain faithful, that they represent the ones that will remain faithful. Okay, they are the ones that received the promise. They are the ones that were incorporated into the loaf, the body of the barley loaf, which represent the body of Messiah. When the priest went out and cut the selected sheaves of barley in the field, it had to be prepared before it was ready to be presented before Yah in his holy place. The following was the process. The ears were brought into the court of the temple and thrashed out with canes, beat out with canes, typifying our carnal, fleshly nature. Beating that out of the corn. Our fleshly nature being threshed from us, or stalks, so that as not to injure the corn. Then parched, it was heated, typifying our being tested by hot and fiery trials. So they would get the corn, they would thresh it out. The threshing out represented the beating of the sin out, and then they would take that corn and they would heat it up. That corn being heated up would represent the trials that we go through. And they used a pan that was perforated with holes so that each kernel, each one of us, might be touched by the fire. We should all go through some trials and some tribulations. We should all be going through something to be perfected. And finally, exposed to the wind, the winds of false doctrine. A final test to see if we will remain faithful to the truth of Elohim. The corn thus prepared was ground into a barley meal, which left the hulls whole. According to some, the flour was always successfully passed through 13 sieves, each closer than the other. Thus Elohim refines our character to become the best possible. I'm sieving all these impurities out of you. I put you through the fire. I chastise you and beat you to get the sin out of you. Though one ephah, and we know that an ephah from our studies is 10 omers, of barley was cut down. That being cut down, you could also look at that as being called, as it were. So when they went out there to cut these sheaves down, they cut down the barley, the omers that they cut down, that barley that was cut down, it represents us being called. Only one omer of flour, or about 5.1 pints of our measure, was offered. So although they cut down 10 omers, they only offered about a pint, 5 pints of this meal, of these grains. They didn't offer it all. Only the choice was offered, the chosen. In the temple, in the second, or the 16th day of Nisan. And that reference came from a book called The Temple on pages 257 and through 259. All right. Thus, many are called, but few are chosen. Can we see how the Most High represents everything in all of his ceremonies? We want to know what he's doing? Then all we got to do is look at his feast days, everything that he tells us to observe. That's why this heave offering in the Feast of the First Fruit is so important, because it shows us his plan of salvation. So many are called, but few are chosen. And that's represented by the barley that was harvested, and then the barley that was selected to be baked into the loaf. Those are the chosen people, okay, the first fruits that are chosen. You got your first fruits, they're called. That would be the barley harvest, the 10 omers. And then out of that, only about 5 pints of that was actually used to go into the loaf. Those are the chosen ones. Those who remain faithful to the calling are chosen grains, who will constitute the wave sheaf of the first fruits. Others who do not overcome their fleshly nature and depart from the truth are those who were initially selected and cut down to be part of the omer, but who were later rejected, not qualifying as the first fruits. So can we see in this process what the first fruits represent? Can we see through the harvest of the barley and the selecting of the choice grains from that barley harvest, and those choice grains being beaten, being the sin being taken from them, they being heated, being tried, and then being set in the wind to blow off these husks, and these husks represent false doctrines to be blown away. Let me expose you to the wind, which represents the false doctrines, and let me blow away these impurities so you to be refined. Okay? All the rest of that harvest, the remaining part of those omers of the first fruits, they were called, but they weren't chosen. I pray we can hear this. That's why Messiah says many are called, but few are chosen. You got to do what he says to do to be chosen. It's up to him. You got to be obedient. You got to make yourself look choosable. Why should I choose this grain over this one? Why should I choose this person over this one? It is those that seek after him with their whole heart. This is what he said he wants. I want your whole heart. I want you to value me above all things. I don't want you to place anybody or anything above me, make anybody or anything more important to me. If you have anybody or anything more important to me, then you can't be my disciple. He didn't say you're going to make a poor disciple. He says you cannot be. So we want to be the chosen ones. Not everybody who he calls is chosen. So we have a lot of people hearing this word. We've got a lot of people up in the sanctuaries, a lot of people worshiping him. But he tells us in the scriptures, most of them don't know him. Most of them don't love him. And he's going to tell them, get away from me. I called you, but I don't know you. I don't know you because you wouldn't obey my voice. You wouldn't keep my commandments. You didn't love me. And he tells us in Exodus that all those who love him keep his commandments. Those that don't keep his commandments hate him. So when we say we struggle with, you know, with sin, then he doesn't make room for that struggle. He doesn't make room for it. Okay? He says, I want you to want me with your whole heart. Those are the ones that I'm choosing. So you can be part of the first fruits, but are you going to be chosen out of the first fruits to be included in the body? I pray we can hear this. The full measure of the Spirit, of which the deposit is a guarantee, and those who have been purchased by his blood, will be attained in a first fruit group whose individual personalities have been broken. You got to die. And I'm not talking about when you die and go into the grave. I'm talking about you got to die daily. That's why Paul said, I die daily. You got to be broken. That old man, you got to be broken. So you can be part of this sheep, part of the loaf, part of the first fruits. You got to give yourself over to the Most High. 100%. It can't be 99 and you keep one for yourself. It can't be 50-50 because he don't do 50-50. He says, I want your whole heart. So you want to make this first fruits? You want to be one of the chosen? You got to give him your all. This is what he wants. This is who he chooses. So let me start this one over. The full measure of the Spirit, of which the deposit is guaranteed, and those who have been purchased by his blood will be obtained in a first fruit group whose individual personalities have been broken, crushed, and ground together. We are one body. We are supposed to be going through the trials together, being crushed together like those grains, having the Spirit of the Most High, the oil, poured upon us, being baked into a single loaf. Those who want him with their whole heart to become one in Messiah. This is who he says he wants. Not those that are trying to. That's not who he wants. He wants the obedient one. They are offered with the drink offering, an outpouring of the wine of the Spirit upon them to be offered before his presence with exceeding joy at the fulfillment of the first fruits offering 50 days later at the prophetic Pentecost. These are the anticipated first fruits unto Elohim and to the Lamb, his firstborn sons of the Messianic age, for which all creation longingly waits. The creation is waiting for this day to come. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And we just read this. And we read verses 13 and 14 before. Let's read verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach by the will of Elohim, To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Yeshua HaMashiach, grace be to you and peace from Elohim our Father and from our Master Yeshua HaMashiach. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, in Mashiach, according as he has chosen us in him, as he has chosen us. We don't choose him, he chooses us. You got to understand that. Many are called, who's doing the calling? Few are chosen, who's doing the choosing? He's doing the calling, he's doing the choosing. We got to make ourselves presentable to be chosen. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Yeshua HaMashiach to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to be to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is his body, his bride, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, in Mashiach, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Mashiach, in Christ. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we read those two verses. So this is his will. This is what he has predestined to do. I'm going to make for me a people that are going to become mine. They're going to be part of me and my body. And they're going to do this through, I'm going to do this through my spirit. And I'm telling this story through the Feast of the First Fruits. Let's continue. Go to Jude chapter 24. Jude 24. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's going to be the one that presents us to himself. This is my bride that I selected. These are the ones I chose. These are the ones that wanted me with their whole heart. Because you think about it. Let us put ourselves in Messiah's shoes, in the Most High's shoes. You want somebody that's going to love you. You want somebody that's going to love you. You want them to love you because they want to love you. And you want them to love you because they chose you. They chose to give you their whole heart. They chose to make you the most valuable thing in their life. They chose to not have anybody else above you, man or woman or child. They chose this. Their heart was to give you, their mind and their heart was to give themselves to you, over to you wholly, completely. And you got those, then you have somebody that comes along and they don't want to give you their whole heart. Put yourself in his shoes. I want those that want me. I want those that want me with their whole heart, that value me above everybody else, above everything else. And if this is what you wanted, why would you accept anything less? Why would the Most High accept anything less? These are the chosen one. These are the chosen grains out of the first fruit. These are the grains that are ground together, tested together, heated together, baked together. These are the grains that the Ruach HaKodesh is poured out upon and baked together. Revelations chapter 14. Revelations chapter 14. Now, I'm going to use this verse, these verses. But you think, I want each one of us to think about this. If the Most High tells a man and a woman to be virgins when they marry, and he really expected us to only be in a single relationship, this is very important to him. So let's read this. Start Revelation chapter 14, starting in verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women. But it means that they never had sexual intercourse with a woman, not alone a man, but with a woman. Okay. They never have been with a woman. They are virgins. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Elohim and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Elohim. This is what he wants. He doesn't have to accept anything less than that. And for us to become part of the body, he don't have to accept anything less than what he wants. So I pray we get this. I pray that we can, after this first fruit, after this wave offering, that we understand that we want to be part of those chosen grains. I know I won't qualify for the 144,000 just because I'm not a virgin. But I know men who believe that, well, the Most High will make me a virgin again. I'm like, dude, please. So you have to keep yourself undefiled. You have to keep yourself without spot. We have to enter into relationships that are approved by the Most High, that are acceptable to him. We have to walk in his ways, keep his commandments. Okay? For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. And let's get verse 23. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This is what we're waiting on. This is what our spirit cries for. We want to be redeemed. We want to be chosen. We want to be those first fruits. Barley is the first grain to mature in the land of Israel and typifies those grains that are the first of the spiritual harvest of the earth to mature and bring forth fruits of the kingdom in coming to the perfection of Messiah, in coming to the perfection of Messiah. That's why he says, when we've been doing this precept for the past few weeks on the doctrines of Messiah, moving on from the doctrines of Messiah unto perfection. The doctrines of Messiah tell us what he expects concerning different things, and we're to learn those things and then move on to perfection in him. The wave sheaf offering is comprised of many individual grains offered together, made possible by the sacrifice of Messiah. Represents those called of Elohim during this age of his first fruits, who have made that offering by fire, by sacrifice, in putting to death their self, not committing suicide, but killing off that old nature, that old man. This is who we must die to self. That's the sacrifice we have to make. I don't want this world. I don't want to fulfill everything that this body wants to fulfill. I don't want to fulfill every thought that I have. I don't want to keep sinning. We have to die. That nature in us, we have to put to death. And really, as I've said before, we need to do that before we're baptized. And this is what we're not being taught. You don't bury something that is alive. You don't bury someone that's alive. So each individual that gets baptized should already know what sin is, should already know what the sin in their life is, should already know what they got to stop doing and what they have to start doing. They have to already have counted the cost. Then get baptized. Because when they are baptized before then, once you are baptized, all of your sins from your birth to that time are forgiven. They're wiped out. You got a clean slate. But then we go back into sin, and not just any type of sin, willful sin. The Most High says, if you sin and it's ignorant sin, you didn't know, I'm sure and just to forgive you that. I'll forgive you that because you didn't do it intentionally. You didn't know. But if we willfully sin after that, then we got a problem. According to the scriptures, we got a problem. Okay? And the way that we overcome that is by doing what he said to do. Keep my commandment. Keep my commandments. What was the commandment? Love me with your whole heart. Even love me more than you love yourself. Value me, make me the most valuable thing in your life. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how poor you are. Make me the most valuable thing in your life. And be willing to give up everything that you have for my kingdom, to get into my kingdom. That's how bad you should want it. That's how bad you should want to enter into my kingdom. That's how bad you should want your citizenship. That's how bad you should want to be in relationship with me. That no matter what you have, car, house, yacht, mansion, no matter what you have, you would be willing to give it up to get into his kingdom. His kingdom is more valuable than anything. Has to be more valuable. This is who he's looking for. This is who he's going to choose for the first fruits. Okay. So you got to put yourself to death. You got to die daily. You got to wake up each new day and realize, today I got to walk perfectly. Today I got to not sin. And if I'm going to sin, I'm sinning because I don't know it's a sin. Then the Most High says, all right, you're true and just. I'm true and just to forgive you. You're not willfully walking around transgressing my law. You did something that was wrong, and yes, it's wrong, but you're not doing it intentionally. So the day you find out that it's wrong, repent of it, and I am true and just to forgive you. This is what he's looking for. Have the heart for me, your whole heart. I don't want a piece of your heart. I want your whole heart. I want you to value me as the most valuable entity in your life. Got to have these things about yourself. Or why should he want us? Why should he want anyone that don't want him? He says it too many times in the scriptures. You say you know me, but indeed you deny me. You say you know me, but then you don't do what I say to do. You don't support the work. You don't go out and minister. You don't look after your fellow brothers and sisters. You don't take care of the fatherless, the widow, and the homeless. The things that are important to me. Those that are in the first fruits, that are chosen of the first fruits, these are the things that they're doing. This is the mindset that they have. They have to have it because he commands it. And if we're falling short in those areas, we know what we need to do. When Yeshua returns at the second coming as king over all the earth, he will be bringing his sheaves with him from the barley harvest of the seed of his sacrificial life, which he planted in the earth. Let's go to Psalms 126. Psalms 126. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 6. Should be all of them there, yeah. Verses 1 through 6. When Yah turned again to the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, Yah has done great things for them. Yah has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Yah, as the streams in the south, that they sow in tears, shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bears precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We are equated to the sheaves, each individual. We start off as grains. We're baked into that loaf. We're chosen and baked into that loaf. Let us go to Jeremiah chapter 31. the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, starting verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 9. They shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yah, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For Yah has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the heights of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yah for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yah. And this is what the Most High is looking for. He's always looked for Israel to be satisfied with his goodness. But our forefathers, they always wanted to look someplace else. We want to be like them. Today, we still looking someplace else. Today, we still not giving the Most High our all. We're trying to achieve things in this world, in this life. And he's second or third choice. He's second or third priority. Instead of us getting jobs to help fulfill the things of the kingdom, we get jobs to fulfill our own lusts and our own wants. We don't come together. He told us, and as we see the day approaching, that we gather ourselves together. If we are the chosen of the first fruits, we should have this understanding that we should come together and that we should work as one to the fulfilling of the word of the Father, the first fruits, celebrating the feast. Everything on the earth, both man and beast, was to be presented before Yah, Elohim, at a first feast offering to him. For this reason, all the firstborn of man and beast was set apart and presented to Yah. Let's go to Exodus chapter 13. The book of Exodus chapter 13. Let's get verse 2. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 2. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. Let's get Exodus chapter 22, verse 29. Exodus chapter 22, verse 29. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquor. The firstborn of thy sons shall thou give unto me. We are to sanctify and set apart for his purposes the first of all our increase unto him. That's why we do the heave offering. We sanctify it unto him for his purposes to accomplish what he wants done in the world. The omer which the people brought to be waved before Yah was the symbolic first tithe of their crops. It was a joyful celebration of thanksgiving for all his blessings and provisions for them, a tribute of praise to him for supplying all their needs, and a recognition that he is the creator and the source of all things. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26, and we're going to get verses 1 through 11 first. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwell therein, that thou shalt take the first of all thy fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days and say unto him, I profess this day unto Yah thy Elohim that I am come unto the country which Yah swear unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of Yah thy Elohim. And thou shalt speak and say before Yah thy Elohim, now this is what the person is going to say, Assyrian was ready to perish. Assyrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down to Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried out unto Yah, Elohim of our fathers, Yah heard our voice and looked on our affliction and on our labor and on our oppression. And Yah brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he has brought us into this place and has given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Yah, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before Yah thy Elohim, and worship before Yah thy Elohim. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which Yah thy Elohim has given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among us, that is among you. This was offered on the day after the Sabbath, which is interpreted as the day after the first weekly Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that was how it was practiced at the time of Yahushua. The offering was part of a ceremonial ritual at 9 a.m. in the morning, or the third hour in the morning, on that day, with the sacrificial offering of the lamb, the drink offering of the wine, and the omer. This is to be interpreted for us as a ceremony, which includes partaking of the Kiddush, bread and wine, in renewing our consecration to our calling of us as his firstborn sons. So as we heave this morning, we are going to consecrate ourselves and renew ourselves as his what? Firstborn. We also bring our thanksgiving offerings of the first fruits of our substance, which we have set aside for his purposes, for whatever the works of our hands have been prospered by the blessing of his increase upon us. From this day, the counting of 7 weeks, 50 days in all, brings to mark off the Feast of Pentecost. We count off each day in anticipation of our future betrothal to our heavenly bridegroom, preparing ourselves to be ready and worthy of such an honor. Each day we take an omer of bread, of life, and come before his altar to present it to him. It represents a portion of our lives which we have offered to him through the sanctifying power of his word. As we progress on in conforming our lives to his image and his likeness, without spot and without wrinkle, we make a confession to Yah. I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto the Levite, the priesthood, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow. And according to all thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me, I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. This oath that we are supposed to take is in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 12. So starting in verse 12, we are already read verses 1 through 10. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. This happened once every 3 years. You tithe every year. And see, because we are, how do I explain this to you? Let me explain it this way. We no longer grow crops per se. We don't raise sheep. Our increase comes from the money that we make from our earnings. And as Yah prospers us, we're supposed to give the increase of it to him as the first fruits to do his work. It's an offering to him. And then the tithe of the third year in this month was to be used by not only the priesthood, but the fatherless and widowless, and even the strangers who don't, you know, those that are out there that are poor. They may not know Yah. They're a stranger. They're suffering. And so through this feast that is to be had in the third year with this offering of the tithe, then you were to have a party with Yah. Okay? Then thou shalt say before Yah thy Elohim, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto the Levite, the priest, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow. And when we go back over tithes again, I'm going to teach the tithes of the different tithes. There's different tithes. So your first 10%, that belongs, he said, that's his. But there's other tithes that we're supposed to pay that go to the Levite, that go to the fatherless, that go to the widow, that dedicated for these things. Okay? So here in this oath, we're saying that we've done those things, that we've kept this. Then thou shalt say before Yah thy Elohim, verse 13 again, I have brought away the hallowed things, because these things are, they're hallowed, they're holy, out of my house, and also given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use. I haven't taken your holy things and used them for something else, nor given aught thereof for the dead. That means that you didn't give it for somebody to be buried with. These things are holy to the Most High. But I have hearkened, listened to the voice of Yah my Elohim, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation, from heaven, and bless thy people, Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, and thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day, Yah thy Elohim commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. This is what he wants. These are his first fruits. Those that will do what he asks with all their heart and with all their soul. This is who he's looking for. Okay? Thou shalt avouch, shall take a vow, Yah this day to be thy Elohim, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. So we're also to make a vow today that Yah is our Elohim, and that we will walk in his ways, and that we will keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments. Israel wants to keep his statutes, laws, and commandments, but Israel don't mention about keeping his judgments. Oh no, we can't do that. But we have to vow to keep that. That's part of this first fruit offering. And to make thee high above all nations. We want to be blessed. We want the Most High to be with us. We have to do what he says to do. We want to be above all nations, which he has made. We got to do what he says to do, even in our captivity, even in our being scattered. As we come together as communities, we got to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments. We have to reaffirm that he's our Elohim, that we will obey him with our whole heart and with our all of our soul, with our substance, and to make high above all the nations which ye have made in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto Yah, thy Elohim, as he has spoken. Let us now stand, and wherever you're at, I want you to stand up. If you have sent in a heave offering, your first fruits, to be heaved before the Most High, I want you to raise your hands, and even all of us raise our hands. Because from now on, from this point on, I want to make sure that we understand and honor the Most High, that we understand that this is a feast day. It is a Sabbath. It's not just the first day of the week. This particular first day of the week is commanded by Yah that we make a heave offering to him. That heave offering represents the body of Messiah and the saints, you and I individually as the first fruits that have come to Messiah. But also we also learn that many are called to be the first fruits. But out of the first fruits, only few are chosen. We want to be chosen. And to be chosen, we got to do this thing with our whole heart. Most High says, I don't have to take second best. I don't have to be second in anyone's life, any of my creation. I don't have to come in second to anything in the creation. So if you want to be my people, I need to come first. And you need to dedicate your whole life, your whole heart, to the fulfillment of my will, that my will be done in the earth. I pray that we can understand this, that we start to get this, that this day is very important, that we might be accepted with Yah. And even though we're not in our land, we are still his people, and we are commanded to keep this forever, whether we are scattered or whether we're in the land. We're to keep this. Just like we keep Passover, we keep Pentecost. This is part of the Feast of Unleavened. And part of that Feast of Unleavened is the heave offering. Part of the heave offering is we re-avouch to the Most High. We thank him for the increase that he has given us. We avouch to him that we have obeyed his commandments, to bring our first fruits and to give them the tithe. We vouch to that. And so even now, whatever you have that you want to hold up to the Most High, to represent your first fruits. I went out to the garden and I picked from the fruit of the garden, and then even of my increase, as he has increased the garden, I want to lift that up to the Most High. Then your offerings, I lift them up to the Most High. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. With your heave offering in hand, lift it up to the Most High. Heavenly Father, we come before you, being obedient to your word. Father, we offer the first fruits of our increase that you have given unto us. We offer it unto you to be used in your kingdom, to fulfill whatever cause that you would have it to be fulfilled with. Father, we ask that you would bless it and find it acceptable. We swear that we have obeyed your commandments. I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also I have given them unto the Levite, the priesthood, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. Father, bless this offering, our first fruits. Father, bless the body of Messiah. Bless Messiah and the work that he has done. Bless his body and all those that are called in him, the chosen. That they will do your will with their whole heart. That they will dedicate their substance to the fulfillment of the work that you have given us in the kingdom. That your will may be done. As Messiah taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We offer it unto you, Most High. All that you have given us, the first fruits, we offer it back to you in sacrifice. We thank you for it. We pray that you bless us and accept us and increase us. Thy will be done. In heaven as it is on earth. Give us this day our daily bread as we forgive those, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And amen. And amen. On next year, and as you go forth this year, and remember, we're starting a new year. The new year is only about 3 days old. As you go forth this year, I want each and every one of you to think about an offering that you want to give to the Most High next year. An offering that you want a purpose for him. Let us go to, let's get a verse on this so you understand what I'm telling you, so that we might be blessed, all of us. Give me 1 second, and then we'll conclude this service. Give me a hot second. I can't remember where this verse is at. Let me do it this way. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, and let's see what verse do I want. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Understanding all that the Most High does. And we're going to actually I want to give verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. So that you understand by the scriptures. You don't say Brother Miles said this, but that you get understanding in the way that the Most High works and what he wants and everything that he does. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you, it is necessary that I write unto you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Now, when we read this, understand that Achaia, they had an offering that they wanted to send to Jerusalem. They prepared it ahead of time. These brothers didn't have to come ask for it, okay? Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. In this behalf, as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that say not you, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. He's saying, we've been bragging about you and how you walk and how on fire you are for the Most High. And yet, we got a problem. You won't make an offering to the Most High. You won't do his feast of first fruits. You won't prepare an offering. Least haply, they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. Now let's see what they're going to be unprepared for. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort or encourage the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. The bounty is going to represent the offering they're supposed to give, whereof you had noticed before that the same might be ready. As a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. Bounty is something that he's saying this is not because of greed. This is not because we want what you have. This is your offering, as you're supposed to give it, of the holy things of the Most High. And it's a bounty. It's a tribute. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. And this is what I want you to think about. Number one, understand these rules. The Most High don't want anything from you that you don't want to give. Okay? He don't want it. I don't want it. If you don't want to give it, don't send it. Because the Most High wants you to give freely and joyfully to his purpose. You want him to bless you. He requires you to give. It's not to buy a blessing. But he says, I will bless you. This is commanded to fulfill his purposes in the world. And as devoted saints, as devoted disciples, then we should be doing this with our whole heart, with our whole soul. And we are required during the feast of first fruits to avouch that we have done this, that we have obeyed his commandments. And every third year, we specifically take care of the fatherless, the widow, and the homeless. We can't forget about the priesthood. As he said, don't forget about the Levite that's in your gates. But every man according as he purposed in his heart. So I want each and every one of us, I want you to think about what type of offering do you want to give to the Most High? And just as the first fruits were brought to the priesthood, you need to send that offering in that it might be waived, that it might be accepted of the Most High. So let him give. How? Not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't give it to me if you don't want it. If you're going to gripe and complain about it, don't give it to me. It's what the Most High is saying. And I want us to understand that this is going to the Most High. If you don't want to give it, not grudgingly. If you don't want to give it, you're going to complain about it, don't do this. Nor of necessity, because you say you need a blessing. I need you to do something for me the Most High. I'm going to buy a blessing from you. No. This is supposed to be out of your heart. It's supposed to really reflect how you feel about the Most High. That's what it's really supposed to reflect, how you feel about him. How do you want to support him? Not grudgingly or of necessity. For Elohim loveth a cheerful giver. He wants you to do this happily. So we want to make this even now. I'm challenging each and every one of you who can hear my voice. I don't care where you're at in the world. If you support this ministry, or if you're not supporting any ministry, or if you're supporting a bad ministry, we are required to do this, and we are required to avouch that we have done it. We don't want to take this vow and make this statement and tell the Most High a lie. Ugh, I can't even think about that. We don't want to do that. So I challenge you that you do this on next year. That you set aside purposely for this day an offering for the Most High. As you purpose. I'm not telling you how much to give. I'm not telling you how much not to give. Is as you purpose in your own heart. This is what Paul is talking about to the Corinthians. I want you to be prepared to give this bounty, to give this offering, so that the work of the Most High can be done. And he says, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he that sows bountifully shall reap what? Bountifully. Abundantly. And Elohim, verse 8, And Elohim is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Many of us suffer from lack of money, always seem like something is going wrong because of this. He says, if you do this, I will make sure that you have all sufficiency in all things. You won't lack. You have to worry about whether you have enough money for bills, or you worry about having enough money for vacation, or to make him an offering, or to take care of the fatherless, the widow, or the homeless. He says, I'll make sure that you have sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. We're supposed to be doing this work. He does it through us. He disperses abroad through us. He has given to the poor through us. His righteousness remains forever. So I'm going to challenge each and every one of you that you, in your heart, in your mind, that you pick up this challenge and that you make this promise to the Most High, that you purpose to him, so that when you take this vow next year, that we can do it with all sincerity and with all cleanliness of heart, because this is required. And I know why a lot of brothers don't celebrate this like this, because a lot of them don't even believe in paying tithes. But the tithe is his. And it didn't go away. He says, and I will make sure that you have all sufficiency to meet all every need. So I pray we can hear this. Happy Feast of the First Fruits, family. May Yah bless you. May he increase you. May he bless you in your goings in and your coming out. Don't keep the holy things of Yah. Don't think that just because we are in the diaspora, that we are scattered, that you are not required to give Yah his holy things, his tithe, his offerings. If you want to be part of the first fruits, you have to be obedient. And you have to do it with your whole heart. If you want to be chosen, you got to do it with your whole heart and everything that you have. He has to be the most valuable thing in your life. Period. And I know we weren't all taught that. And we weren't taught it from this standpoint. But this is what he requires. So I pray we can hear him that, and we are obedient. Happy Feast of the First Fruit, wherever you are at. May Yah bless you. May he keep you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm. May Yah increase the first fruits and give you all that you need so that you have sufficiency in all things in this coming year. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, family.
Shalom, my brother.
Rain. no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishraka, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a